Okay. Isaiah 53. The message is called Natural Born Predators. Now, I reckon at least half of you are going to fall asleep because I don't have much confidence in my notes, although I never do, but it's boiling hot. Yeah? You texting or you got your Bible on there, man? it's this new thing, isn't it? People have their Bible on their phones and you're like, yeah, but they're texting right in front of me. Anyway, sorry, Matt. Natural born predators, I called it, which sounds heavy going, but I think it's true. Now, here's a question. What is the Bible? Okay, you thinking? What's the Bible? Yeah, you're probably thinking, you know, the 2 Timothy 3, the inspired, breathed word of God. Yeah. Okay, that'll do for now. Why is the Bible given to us? Now, be careful what you say, because at the end I'm going to ask this question again. Why is the Bible given to us? Okay, well, I like these answers. It's God's revelation about the things we need to know and believe about himself, but also about ourselves. Things we need to know about ourselves and himself. To prepare us to live and die and be ready for judgment. So he gives us the Bible to prepare us on how to live and how to die and to be ready for judgment. I think that's quite solid, yeah. 2 Timothy 3, the scriptures make us wise unto salvation through faith. Okay? All right, next question. Is all of the Bible given to prepare us to live and die and be ready for judgment? Answer is yes, on the grand scale. But that doesn't mean that every verse is going to equip you for how to live and die and be ready for judgment. It means the whole picture is when you put it together. For instance, when you read about Esau and like he's having an argument about soup, like, you have to take the bigger picture to get that. Okay, there's nothing particular. You don't have to analyze the soup and say, well, is the soup a picture of the Lord or something? You have to take the whole story. Understand? Right. But, occasionally, he gives us a verse in the Bible which sums up the whole Bible. Right. Now, welcome to Isaiah 53. Particularly, the text tonight, verse 6, sums up the message of the whole Bible to prepare us for how to live and to die and to be ready for judgment. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on the Lord, on him, the iniquity of us all. Okay? The whole Bible in one verse, I think. So here we go. Let's look tonight. Are you ready? Yes. Right, so it starts with bad news, this message of the Bible. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, if you turn the TV on and you watch a L'Oreal advert, it will say, because you're worthy. Okay, right, Isaiah 53 doesn't start there, does it? If you turn on Disney films, they will say, find the inner you, Simba. Yeah? And I'm not knocking the Lion King, but that's the message. If you watch, what's his name, Chris Coleman, after Wales beat Belgium, all you need to do is dream, or something like that, isn't it? Dream, dreams, people. Okay, all right, great. What about, for the Belgians that probably dreamt a dream and all that didn't work out very well, did it? What about you've got to search for the hero inside yourself? All right, that's the world. God starts with, all we like sheep, L'Oreal, advert people, all of you, Chris Coleman, Disney makers, have gone astray. I have a son, Jensen, who now appears in every sermon that I preach. I have two sons. But Jensen is back. I will not say to Jensen, you are essentially good. And it's other things that spoil you and make you bad, like TV or education or the neighbours. It's the bullies down the road. You are good in your essence. And all you need to do is take your goodness to the world and you will change it because you're that good, Jensen. Because that is not true. There's a breakdown with that message. Other people have tried it. And in 2016, I think we have had the worst year since I've been alive of the tragedy and the torment and the hatred and the deaths. The world is worse than ever, I'm sure. So my message to even my own son, and not in the way to crush his self-esteem, and I'm not going to keep him in a box and say, don't try hard in life and do what you want to do to a degree. But my message is, and do you believe this? Jensen, you've gone astray. And Dad, by nature, has gone astray somewhere. And you may never change the world. And you may well find, Jensen and Calvary Church, that you are more selfish than you are selfless by nature, Jensen. But you can meet the one who has changed the world. And his name is Jesus. That's where God starts. Have you ever seen children raised and their parents have, and I have recently seen it, and their parents tell them this, you are an angel. And they treat them as if there's nothing wrong with them at all. And it's the teacher's fault. Have you seen them grow up? Boy, are they sneaky and full of pride. And they, I can think of one that occasionally has come to club over the years. I'm not saying they come now because you'll be wondering who it is. But oh, I tell you, she's sneaky. And the message she's hearing at home is, you're an angel. Well, but she's a sneaky sinner, see? So this is where the Bible starts. You have three options at this point as we begin with sheep going astray. Option number one, as I preach, you pull the navy blue curtains across your heart and your ears. And you say to yourself, no way am I letting Batstone tell me about my sin tonight. Okay? That's one option. Some of you might be doing that. Option number two is you attack back with swords in your heart. Like I attacked the weeds with the strimmer the other day. You listen, but you hate. And you hate the God of this Bible. In fact, that's why they killed Jesus, because he testified that the world was evil. And God sent him to pull back the navy blue curtains of people's hearts and sin. And they killed him. That's an option. Number three, and I hope this is everyone, you soak in this message like a sponge. You consider these things. God works in your heart and you are healed. Yeah. And if you have been healed, oh, you get healed again. And you go out and you tell others about this healing message. Now, if you've got a really serious illness and you go to the doctor and he says this, your survival rate is about 90%. You'd be quite happy, wouldn't you? Yay. But with this condition, once it's revealed, if you address it, there is a 100% survival rate for this serious condition of going astray. So here comes a story about our condition. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, did you ever play the computer game growing up called Lemmings? Yeah, Angie, you did. Yeah, nice. Okay, well, with a lemming, they all followed each other, didn't they? Well, this is written before Lemmings, so you have a sheep picture. And one sheep turns left, and they probably all turn left. One sheep turns right, and they probably all turn right. And it's quite funny. Until A sheep turns left, off the green pastures, away from the protection of the shepherd, into a wooded area with bears and snakes. Now, I chose bears and snakes because I can't think of predators, sheep predators. A wolf, isn't it? Yeah, that'll do. Into a wooded area with a wolf where predators lurk. And that's what sheep do. These sheep on the highway on the way in, were it not for a fence, would walk onto the road and get killed. Ah, all we like sheep. In Eden, sad indeed that day, our countless blessings fled away. Our crown fell in disgrace. We turned a left away from the shepherd. This morning in John 17, Jesus prayed that we would be one with the Father. Do you know why? Because that was lost and we turned away. The command is love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your being. And we say, I will turn away. All of us. Now, I am told by my mother that I lurch when I stand up. Do I do that? You know, some of you are nodding. Well, my mother tells me by the age of 40, my forehead's going to be on the floor because I'm bending over so much. You see? Right. But spiritually, in Eden, when we turned from God, we bent in on ourselves. Where once we looked up. Yes? And then Paul writes the most tragic words in the whole Bible in Corinthians. There's none that seek after God by nature. All we like sheep. Someone said this. Now this is true of your work colleagues, your road friends, people who live on your road, the people on your TV, the people in this church. Fools marching off to hell will encourage you to join the parade and criticize everybody that doesn't fall in step. All we like sheep. Now, a few years ago, there were riots in London. And a group of people, you know, like kind of power and comfort in numbers, rioted. Do you remember, what was it, 2012 or something? What was it? 2012, yeah, okay. Now, I remember one guy who looted a shop and stole a TV and he got interviewed by someone on the BBC. And they got him on his own, see, away from the group. And now the group was saying, oh, we're just rioting because of the politics and the discrimination and all this and all this. But the interviewer said to the one guy, why did you steal that TV? And the guy was trying to think politically and he was coming up with this rubbish. And the guy, who was quite sharp, just dismantled his political arguments and put them to the side and said, forget what everybody else is saying now because you don't understand this. You don't understand what they're saying. But yet you stole the TV. Why did you do it? And he said, I just wanted to. See? I just wanted to. So all we like sheep have gone astray, but sort of individually when on our own, there's less comfort. Now, one or two bad theologians, you notice this, flag something up in the Bible. God hates gays, that's what the media say. Or God hates women. And the Bible is full of dated morals. And then do you notice? The whole group latches onto it in society. Yeah, we'll never go to church. The Bible needs to get modern. We hate God. He needs to get with the times. His views on homosexuality and sex before marriage. Forget it. And all we like sheep have gone astray. But you pin people down one-on-one and you explain morality that it has to come from a great God who knows what's best for people and how to live with their bodies and what to do with them. And what you find is all the facade that they've just learned and parroted from other people is stripped away and the group is represented by an individual who will say this, I do not want this man ruling over me. You see, that's what it comes down to. Someone left this church once and said, I left because I didn't like the pastor's views on homosexuality. He never asked me about my views on homosexuality. He just plucked it out of the air. Why? He had enough. He loved his sin. Just be honest. If we're not going to be honest about our sin, what hope do we have of the world being honest about our sin? I visited someone recently in an old people's home. There was an elderly lady in the corner. And she said, oh, please pray. And I prayed. And as she started telling me her story, oh, the blasphemy in her voice went. So she loved the notion of praise, the religion. But the command to honor the Lord's holy name with her tongue. I do not want that man ruling over my tongue. And so she wanted her blasphemy. So, Ogmore Vale. All we like sheep have gone astray. Okay, collectively. The religious, the blatant rioters, God calls us and we say no. And the reason is we hate the notion of being guilty before a God who has called us to come to him and obey him, and we say no. And so, what is the territory into which we walk as a group? And the answer is Satan's kingdom. The Bible calls him the God of this world. So the sheep turn a left and into the wooded area. And to who owns that kingdom? And to whom are we vulnerable predators to now? Or who are our predators? Listen to this verse. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul prays this. I would that you should not have fellowship with devils. James 4, listen to this. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. No submission to God. Easy pickings for the devil. It's no joke, this going astray. 1 Peter 5, listen. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now the church has a captain, and his name is Jesus. But the lost, all we like sheep, are in this kingdom. Now do you believe your loved ones are there and in that territory? I think it's a tactic of the devil to make everything feel important apart from this important issue. So he puts TVs in everybody's homes and he allows the award-winning viewer gathering Apprentice to be on during the Wednesday prayer meetings. And he allows some of the most important games of the Euros to be on during church meetings. And the seeds are snatched away from Sunday. Shall I go and pray with the Lord's people? Or shall I stay here? And then the problems of the world rush over us. And the devil fills and keeps the world with distractions. And often the church. Because he does anything for us not to pay attention tonight. That all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And that is a critical condition. Is he laughing now as I'm preaching? Is he filling you with trivia? Ha! I've got him or her as the pastor's preaching his heart out. Ah, but I've got that person. I've got him with trivia. They won't turn back tonight. And their family certainly won't. I'll make sure of that. This verse is frightening. Yes, the group has wandered, but individuals have wandered too. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one. Now, not any one of you is above that. I watched a YouTube video recently on, I don't know why, but a man getting gored by a bull. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, he was one-on-one, and he had a weapon. and it still went bad for him. Right. If there was a group of people, I would fancy my chances against a bull. Yeah, that's better than one-on-one, isn't it? Because, I don't know, throw someone else in and leg it. Right. But this guy was one-on-one with a weapon, and he lost. What if you were one-on-one with these forces of evil with no weapon? You fancy your chances? We have turned each one our own way. So at the end of the day, though you may feel comfort in numbers, it is you who is turning. And you who these bulls, the psalmist calls, bulls of Bashan, satanic forces, are watching and waiting and on a leash, just waiting to be let loose. To a degree, my friends, you are on your own with God. And you see this every day in your own hearts, but in society's hearts, or the people we know. The government of my world I will rule. My world. Forget others a minute. The government of my world, you will have no place to rule over me. And so I will turn my own way away from your rule. Anyone had a polite rejection? Thank you about the gospel, but that's for you and not for me. Right? What is that? That is, God, mind your business with me. You see? Do you see it? I hear children in our clubs desecrating the sanctity of God's holy name, blaspheming. They're 5 and 6 and 7 years old. What are they saying? And what have they been taught to do? I will use this my own way. You get a teenager on their own from school, and you say this: stop having sex before marriage. Stop watching pornography. Stop idolizing TV. Come to Christ. Do you know the response? Ha! You church folk, damn you! And that's my choice. I am turning my own way. I will idolize games and boys and family and work and hobbies. The response is from individuals in all of our lives. Mind your business, God, damn you. We've seen it in recent months in this church. You cross people and they're beasts in an instant. We have each turned our own way. Parents, if I may urge you for a moment, or people who have children in their lives, I know that there are children in all of our lives, be very careful, and I say this as someone who's only been a dad for 2 years, be very careful about idolizing children. Believe this message with your heart. Your children have turned away from God by nature. Now, I hope you create loving, safe, fun environments. But do not do this. Your pastor pleads with you. Do not say to them, I will support you in your decision making with morals, whatever you choose to do in your life. It's a killer. Don't underestimate a child's ability to turn their own way into sin. And there is a roaring lion who wants the children in our lives. And Christian parents have to put fences up. Our children have fallen. And when they say, I want to go my way, and I want to be like this, and I want to sleep around, or I want to do this with my agenda and my gender, we say, not under my watch. There's a devil that wants to get you. I hear teachers in parents' evening, they say this: the parents idolize their children. The children can't do anything wrong anymore. I can't tell the children off because the parents think there's no sin in their children at all. And the children have got the parents wrapped around the fingers. That's child worship. Your children's souls hang on you believing this. Even the loved ones in your life have gone astray. Chastise them. Even their genes are tainted with sin. They can be born with certain tendencies which are sinful and they need to curtail. The person with a bad temper may well become a wife beater. And if our message is, do what you want, I'll support you, just be as you are, we'll damn our children. Do you believe this? As we have officers in our club and Sunday school teachers and parents and grandparents, our children have turned each way and we have a message for the future. That's why this message is called Natural Born Predators. We become our own rulers by nature and we align ourselves with Satan and his kingdom. Let me give you the chief evidence of us wandering. Look at the cross, where humans prey on God himself. That's the cross as Jesus hung there. Mankind preying on God because he got in the way. But thank God there was another work going on there with the Father as well. Oh, my loved ones, run from sin, little sheep. Run and do everything you can at home to let your family run to Christ. It's 20 years since there was a rapper I used to like who died in 96, Tupac Shakur. 20 years since he died. And they're still saying, he's going to come back, he's going to come back. But I tell you this, if Tupac Shakur died outside of Christ, he is not coming back. And there are demons saying to him now in hell, you will never be back. You turned one too many times your own way. You snarled at the gospel and spat at Christ too many times. And now we have you. You exited the field where the shepherd was and now you're exited forever. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. You are not innocent by nature into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Alan Rees was preaching the other week and he asked us a question. He heard a song which quoted something about hell. And the song said something like, think who's down there? The answer is predators. Jimmy Savile unleashed to be who he wants to be without the restraining graces of God. Why would you turn from the protection of this shepherd? And I don't know if Jimmy Savile is in hell. None of us know who's in hell. But there are people in hell, unleashed without restraint. This is the condition of the lost. How long until we wake up? This is the message of the Bible, which at the start you gave an answer in your head to what it is. And I bet all of you thought it's the word of God. So you have to believe it. I thank the Lord the passage doesn't end there. And we close on good news. Oh, all we like sheep have gone astray. But we note the author. And now it's time to talk about him. When we talk about us, it's bad news. When we talk about God, it's good news. So let's talk on him. But, or and, the Lord has laid on us? No. On the sheep that have turned astray? No. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, Owen, tell me what God has done. Don't tell me what I have to do. Tell me what God has done. Okay, I will. This isn't psychology. This isn't poetry where you have to scan the depths of your mind and soul and come up with something deep and write a song around it, you know, about the depths of life. I'm so confused. I don't know what to do with all these thoughts. Nope. This is God coming to the sheep which have turned. This is the Son of God. And we're closing. Taking on human nature. 100% man. 100% God. And all the power of this man. Listen to this story. In 1946, oh, did I tell you this the other day? There were three white men on a bus and a black man. I told you that. This is true. In 1946, there were three white men on a bus and there was a black man on a bus. Well, they're racist in 1946, are they? Right, so, not everyone. But the white people edged closer to the black man. And they started making fun of him. And then they got closer again. And then they started pushing him and poking him and provoking him. And he did nothing. Right. The bus driver asked him later, "Why didn't you do anything?" And he said, "It was for the best. I'm Joe Lewis, the heavyweight champion of the world. I'd have killed him." Oh, the power of that one man, but oh, the power of the God man. Yet, he remained silent as they led him like a lamb to the slaughter, with legions of angels who would have called, he could have called on to help in a second. Oh, but the power in his silence. The evil one we've wandered towards that I was talking to you about, the bulls. Listen to James. "You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and they tremble." They tremble at the God-man. The cure for our condition is not us. It is this God-man going to a cross and receiving our sin and the power of Satan and death unto himself. Oh, the power. And out goes his glory unto the wandering sheep. This man becomes the sheep's substitute. Oh, I think demons laugh when a believer sins. "Oh, he looks like us," they'll say. "Oh, he looks like us." Well, on that cross, the God-man was sin. And maybe the devils were laughing as the Father punished the Son, as he lavished. Do you know what the Hebrew is? This term, we have turned everyone, the Lord has laid on him. It's bad English. The actual Hebrew is struck. He struck violently his son. Why? Because he was sin. And that's what our sin looks like to a holy God. But oh, the power to take it and drink to the very dregs the cup of a righteous holy Father's wrath. Now listen up as we wrap this up. What will you do with your wandering heart? Will you give it to the God man? Will he heal you tonight? If you don't, and after tonight's message, you still hate him, what choice does the Father have but to send you to hell? Is what you want. He cannot honor his son's death on the cross and still let you go to heaven if you don't trust in that God. Do you see? What honour, what choice does he have? My friend said, "Oh, wandering sheep, the centre of Christianity is not your walk with God, it's Christ's walk with God. Place your trust in him tonight, and oh, the rest and the peace and the joy that you'll have. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The teenagers made an error on Thursday. How do you get in the real church? Some of them said, "You get in the real church by faithfully following God." You can't do it. You get in the real church because this Lamb faithfully followed God and gives you his glory. What next? We go home as people of peace who hate sin and take it seriously. And we live as redeemed people. A redeemed husband who's been set free from sin. A redeemed granny. A redeemed dreams worker who have been set free from the inward bending of sin to follow the Creator's laws. The Spirit dwells in us. And we live as people on earth, but who have their citizenship in heaven. And you live, my friends, in such a way of peace and obedience and joy this week that you cause Ogmore Vale to ask this church, what's the hope that is in us? We are restored, we are healed, and we can love God and each other for his name's sake. Amen.